Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Gelton of NPR. I'm sitting in for Diane Rehm. She's on a station visit down at WUNC in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. For the last several years, instability in the Middle East and North Africa has threatened cultural heritage sites in the cradle of civilization. There's been the intentional destruction of ancient monuments and treasures, a spike in looting, and damage to antiquities as the byproduct of warfare. But along with these new threats have come new efforts to protect the world's antiquities. Joining me in the studio to discuss this are Tess Davis of the Antiquities Coalition and Gary Vachon, former director of the Walters Art Museum in Baltimore. We also have archaeologist Sarah Parkak from a studio at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and from WOUB in Athens, Ohio, former Syrian antiquities official Amr al-Azam. Hello to all of you. Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Joining us.
Good morning.
Hello.
We want to hear your own thoughts on this important problem and what you think should be done about it. Call us at 1-800-433-8850. Email us, drshow@wamu.org is our address. You could send in your comments and your questions via Facebook as well. But before we get into this important discussion, let's get an update on today's earthquake in Italy. Two towns in central Italy have been left in ruins. Dozens are dead, many more injured. Joining us now by phone from Tuscany is Deborah Ball. She's the Italy bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal. And Deborah, I'm sure it's a really busy day for you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem.
So we're just getting some initial reports. CNN has just reported 73 may be dead from this earthquake. What do you know about the situation at this point?
Yeah, the Civil Protection Agency here just confirmed about an hour ago that at least 73 people are confirmed dead in the earthquake. The death toll is likely to rise in the next hours, given that two of the towns right at the epicenter of the earthquake were entirely flattened. There's one hotel in which reports are saying that it was entirely full. It was all booked out for the August season here, has been flattened. So it seems likely that the death toll will go a whole lot higher, unfortunately.
So tell us a little bit about these towns. You say there is a hotel. I'm assuming there were tourists there. Is this, where are these towns and, what are they known for?
Yeah, these towns, actually, they're not well known. They wouldn't be known to foreigners at all. The epicenter of the quake was about 100 miles northeast of Rome at a town named Norcia up in the mountains, the Apennines, basically the central chunk of the Apennine Mountains that run along the whole boot of Italy. These are mountain towns way up high, actually. They're towns that are, one is called Amatrice, which is actually gave the world Pasta Amitriciana, which is probably the biggest its claim to fame. Otherwise, they're tiny towns. One of them had only 700 people. The other one had 2,600 people. So in some ways, if there is sort of a positive to take away from this at all, that if this had struck a larger town, undoubtedly more people would have died. It is a small, tiny town. At the same time, since they are high up in the mountains, rescue workers had a hard time reaching them. They had to use a lot of helicopters to take people away. It definitely has slowed down the rescue efforts overnight.
And has the damage, as far as you know, been limited to that area? Again, it's probably good that it's remote. What have you heard about how this was felt or affected in Rome, for example?
It was felt in Rome and in Bologna, as far as Bologna and even Florence, Perugia, some other larger towns. But there was no major damage, or really even very little damage, remarkably, has been reported elsewhere. No damage to works of art. Of course, if anybody recalls the 1997 earthquake in Assisi, which brought down the vaulted ceiling in the cathedral there, we haven't had any of those sorts of reports so far. So while the earthquake was very violent because that area is so reasonably sparsely populated. The damage was limited really strictly to these small towns.
You know, we're talking in the rest of the show today about the loss of antiquities. And, of course, Rome is so full, Italy is so full of treasures. But as far as you know, there hasn't been any comparable damage as there was in Assisi to
nothing at all like that. There's been in the cathedral, I think in Urbino, which is not that far. There's some cracks, perhaps, but it does raise the issue, though, of whether this earthquake is raising the issue once again of what Italy does or doesn't do to protect not just its people and its buildings, but certainly its works of art, because Italy sits on. I guess where two tectonic plates meet between Europe and Africa. So earthquakes, this is a country that's like California and Japan. I mean, earthquakes are not uncommon at all. So the fact is that Italy, particularly small towns, particularly remote areas, have not done what they should to shore up buildings, some of them very, very old, to introduce anti-earthquake, anti-seismic, new structures and whatnot. And so the damage tends to be quite big. These two towns, for instance, that are up there called Accumuli and Amatrice have been absolutely flattened. I'm sure you've seen the images there. There's really nothing left. The entire populations of those two towns have now been evacuated, I couldn't imagine how they could ever reconstruct those towns. Yeah. So it does get to the problem of Italy's response to these sorts of natural disasters.
And Deborah, you're saying that the Italian authorities haven't really learned sufficient lessons from the Assisi earthquake?
There's a number of problems. Yeah, in natural disasters in general, it's a very unstable geography here. We have lots of landslides. It's really pretty frequent. There's not a year that doesn't go by. We don't have sort of a major incident. The part of the problem is illegal building in very many areas, particularly in the south. It's been a chronic problem around Naples and Sicily, even in Liguria in the north, where you have a lot of illegal building. And then when you have a big rain or you have an earthquake, they haven't been built to spec, and so they come down sort of like a house of cards. Oftentimes, the Italian government runs amnesties, so you have a lot of illegal building, and then they'll just sort of allow them to stay, or they don't address them at all, and that's a major problem. A lot of these regulations are local regulations. There's a lot of conflict between the local regulations and national regulations, so it's done kind of on a spot basis. There are towns that are very diligent about taking care of these things, and others that either don't have the resources or the governance to really address these problems. And it looks like this area is in the epicenter of one of the most earthquake-prone areas of Italy. And clearly they should have done more to protect the people who live there.
Okay, that's Deborah Ball. She is the Rome Bureau Chief, the Italy Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal. I know it's a busy day for you. Deborah, thanks very much for sharing this update with us.
Thank you.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
DCS Daily.
It's news,
culture, and curiosities.
From the District, Tacoma Park,
Alexandria,
Friendship Heights,
Hyattsville,
Falls Church,
Northeast Washington, D.C., in your inbox every weekday afternoon.
DCS Daily.
Sign up at dcs.com/newsletter.
dcs.com/newsletter.